And this hour, it's the business of Greater Newport with the Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce. Our chamber host today, the executive director of the Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce, Aaron Donovan Boyle. Aaron, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Bruce?
Good. Good to have you with us. Hope you're keeping warm.
Absolutely. It's a little windy, but it's nice and bright and blue out there.
It is. You bet. That is exactly the point of view. And we're ready for another hour of interesting discussion. We're going to meet some interesting people, as we always do. And as always, we kick things off with the Business of the Week, sponsored by Humphreys Building Supply. And we're excited to meet our Business of the Week, Aaron.
This week's Business of the Week is the Naval War College Foundation. Congratulations and welcome, Alexa Wallach. Alexa is the Chief Marketing Officer for the Naval War College Foundation, and we're thrilled to have her join us. How are you, Alexa?
Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you, Aaron and Bruce. So happy to be here with you this morning.
We're very happy you were able to join us. And this is a great opportunity to let listeners know a little bit more about the foundation. Well, I think everyone here on Aquinic Island certainly knows the Naval War College is a huge, impactful, and important institution here on the island, but maybe they might not know specifically about the Naval War College Foundation.
Absolutely. So the War College Foundation was founded in 1969. We're a privately funded 501c3 organization, and we're funded through memberships from individuals and our corporate partners, as well as grants. So we're very grateful for the continued support of all our loyal members.
Yeah, and now, has the foundation always been based out of Newport?
Yes.
Okay,
wonderful. Our office is actually right here on Naval Station Newport at the college.
That's great. And how long have you been with the foundation?
I've been with the foundation just over a year, since November of 2022.
Okay, great. And so how is it structured? So I understand it's a 501c3. Do you have membership and do you have sponsors?
Absolutely. So we have a membership program. Membership varies from individual membership to life membership. People can join as a life member, as well as sponsorship opportunities, membership opportunities for alumni and faculty of the college.
That's great.
Yes.
So private citizens can be members.
Absolutely. And our introductory membership started at $100 for your first year with the foundation. All of that information is available on our website.
Okay. And what does membership include?
Membership includes access to special rates for some of our major events, opportunities to hear lectures and symposia virtually and at the U.S. Naval War College. So it's a really cool opportunity for people to come on campus and see what's happening at the college. Members also receive the Naval War College Review, which includes a lot of really interesting research done by the faculty here at the college, and our Bridge magazine, which is published twice a year.
Okay. And you do have quite a few events and lectures throughout the year. Do you have any events coming up?
Absolutely. We have a lot of events happening in the Newport area. We do a lot of events around the country, but we're excited to see a lot of our local members in the next few months. We have a clay shoot coming up on Thursday, April 25th at the Peacedale Shooting Preserve in South Kingstown. So it's a really fun event, limited to 50 shooters. Anyone at any skill level is welcome to join us. Just a really fun opportunity and a casual atmosphere to meet some of the students from the college as well as faculty. So we're really looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. Then have our all members meeting on Monday, June 10th. That's at the Naval War College itself. So if you join as a member in the next few months, you'll be receiving an invitation to join us. It's a great opportunity for all of our members to kind of meet and reconnect. And we'll also hear from the president of the U.S. Naval War College, Rear Admiral Peter Garvin, and Christopher Sharman, who's the director of the China Maritime Studies Institute at the college. So he'll have some really interesting updates about the cutting edge research the institute is doing here.
I would imagine. Lots going on in that realm.
Yes, absolutely. We also have a donor recognition dinner coming up on Tuesday, June 11th at Rosecliff in Newport. That's open to anyone, and it's just an opportunity for us to celebrate our generous donors from 2023. We haven't had that event since 2019, so we're really looking forward to bringing that back.
That's always a fun one at a beautiful location.
Absolutely. Then on Wednesday, June 26th, we have our second annual Newport Open Golf Tournament. That will be at the Newport National Golf Club in Middletown. So if people are in town for the Senior Open, they can join us. It kicks off at 8 a.m. So a good early morning start and an opportunity to get some golf in while you're in the area.
And that's such a beautiful course. So I'm sure you'll do very well with attendance.
Absolutely. And then finally, our Newport National Security Symposium is one of our major signature events, and that will be held Friday, August 23rd. Again, on the campus of the U.S. Naval War College. We're looking forward to sharing some of our exciting keynote speakers and panelists for that very soon. Also a great opportunity to hear from some of the faculty at the college who will join us as panelists for that event too. So lots going on. It's all available on our website if anyone's interested in learning more.
And just give folks your website.
Yep. It's nwcfoundation.org.
That's great. And so are you only allowed to participate in these programs if you are a member, or can non-members participate and just pay a different rate?
Non-members are welcome at any of these events, aside from the all-members meeting, which is a required membership event.
That's great. And so you also have corporate partnerships as well as individual memberships.
We do. We have a great number of corporate partners, especially some local supporters here in the area, including Bank Newport, Kempinar Real Estates, First Brazil, and Newport Harbor Island Resort. So we're very grateful for their continued support.
That's great. Are you looking for additional corporate partners? We do have a lot of businesses that listen to this show.
Absolutely. We are always looking for corporate partners. There's more information on our website about that, and our director of corporate and foundation relations is happy to speak with anyone and give them some information on what that entails.
Okay.
Excellent.
Well, that's
Please
great.
Put out your information, Alexa. Tell us how we can find out more and get in touch with you at the Naval War College Foundation.
Sure. So again, our website is nwcfoundation.org. For any information on these events, you can email marketing@nwcfoundation.org or subscribe to our newsletter, also available on our website, which is a great way to stay up to date on what's happening at the foundation.
Excellent.
That's great. And you can also follow you on social media as well.
That's right. We're on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and X.
Right. Well, thanks very much. We're so pleased that you're our business of the week, and we wish you all the best, continued success over there on board Naval Station Newport. We'd love to talk to our colleagues over there on board Naval Station, and we're delighted to have you with us today.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much, Alexa. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Alexa Wallach, Naval War College Foundation, our business of the week, sponsored by Humphreys Building Supply. Welcome back. It is the business of Greater Newport. Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce, newportchamber.com. Our chamber host today, Executive Director Erin Donovan Boyle, and her guest, Erin.
Thanks so much, Bruce. I'm thrilled to be joined with our representative, Terry Corfriend. She's joining us today, and we're going to talk about lots of activity up at the State House and specifically some of the items and bills that she's working on. So please welcome Rep. Corfriend. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me today. Happy
Pleasure.
To be here with you.
We're thrilled to have you. So just remind folks what district you are from and what towns you support.
Of course. I represent District 72 in the House, and that is the southern half of Portsmouth and the east side of Middletown, everything from Aquidneck Island east all the way down to the beaches.
Well, and you have been, is this your fourth term?
Third term.
Okay.
Yes.
And
year six.
And you've been such a great advocate and supporter of the chamber and lots of issues that we've been working on together. But we'd love to hear today what specific issues you're working on this legislative session.
Okay. Well, Right top of mind are the five bills that I'm introducing tonight. Mm-hmm. It's a crazy time of year at the State House, and reps are like bopping in and out of committee meetings and going to other meetings to introduce their bills. And it's a very crazy time. And tonight will probably be my craziest night, I hope.
So the deadline to submit bills is coming up as well. So that's...
Yes, we're already past the deadline, but in the House we have what's called a 7D rule, which each rep can go over the deadline with three bills without having to ask permission, but you have to announce in advance. But these bills that are being heard tonight were introduced before the deadline, and now they're just coming up for a hearing this evening. So I have four in the Environment Committee and one in the Corporations Committee this evening. And in Corporations is a bill on geothermal, which would ask Rhode Island Energy to develop five pilot projects using geothermal. One is designated for somewhere on Aquidneck Island. It's not so prescriptive to say exactly where. That would be up for Rhode Island Energy to decide. Massachusetts is doing pilot projects, and so is New York. The pilot projects are being taken up by utilities across the country, really. And this would ask Rhode Island Energy to embark on that process here in Rhode Island in five locations.
And what would the pilot projects entail?
Well, it would be putting in a geothermal, it's like a micro system. Hopefully they might be able to reuse gas, existing gas lines. The idea is this provides over time a just transition for people that workers that are employed in the gas industry could, as we move to a greener technologies, could use those same skills in geothermal, building geothermal systems as opposed to natural gas systems, because the work is very similar.
Oh, that's great.
Same pipelines and all. So this bill is modeled after a bill that passed in New York and is very much supported by labor because they see it as a avenue for transitioning as we move to more renewable energy.
Sure. And I love the idea of piloting the projects in various different areas so that you can articulate exactly what the long-term impact and efficiencies will be from it. So
correct.
Sounds like a great one.
Right. And there's a big apprenticeship component to the bill as well. Okay. So it allows workers to new people coming into the industry to have opportunity at middle-class wages that they might not have otherwise.
Right.
Because you might not need a college degree for this.
Okay. And apprenticeship programs are great ways for people to enter into long-term careers with Upward Path. So
that's
great to hear.
Yes. So then in environment, I have a bill that I've introduced before that I'm working with Clean Water Action on, which is to ban products that are coming into Rhode Island that contain PFAS. And we know that PFAS is a toxic chemical that's actually in a multitude of household and consumer products, from carpets, upholstery, cosmetics, menstrual products, turf, artificial turf. So there's a list of products that would be... That is proposed to be banned. And this is another phenomenon that's happening around the country as well. And industry is moving to find replacements for these harmful forever chemicals. And so this bill is mirrored after what other states are doing. It's not exactly the same. It's actually, ours is a little bit more, is less restrictive than what other states, Maine and Minnesota, and Minnesota in particular. But so we're looking at what is happening in those states and have taken what's good out of those bills in the Rhode Island version. And are hoping, you know, that we could develop a regional approach.
Sure. So is it setting limits, or is it completely
phasing them out? Phasing them out. Yes.
Yes. Great.
Over time, because these products, you know, eventually end up in our landfill, and then they don't, or in our bodies, and they don't go away.
Oh wow.
Yes. I'm also have an adjustment to a food packaging bill that also bans PFAS in food packaging, and we're working with the industry, and this bill is tweaking the bill that was passed a couple years ago to give industry a little bit more time, because as they search for alternatives. So we are working with local industry and, you know, trying to help businesses out and to, you know, to comply with these new mandates. So this would actually give them a little bit more time.
That's great. I know that is typically the concern by the business industry when mandates are put into place, of having a longer term opportunity to phase out and switch gears.
Exactly. Exactly. So we're trying to be helpful to them as well, and not, you know, as we work together to come to these solutions and replacement products for them.
Right.
Let's see, I have another bill that I am asking for. It's really a resolution asking for a study commission to look at the long-term effects that the state might be facing in terms of sea level rise and climate change. We've seen that series of storms this past winter,
sure,
back in December, where there was flooding, a lot of beach erosion, several, there's some other legislation being proposed for funding for beach replenishment. And there's another bill that's going to be heard tonight asking for a study commission just on beach nourishment. And when I learned about that bill, I thought, gee, we should be taking a broader look and not right. something so specific, because there's a lot of other implications to the same things that, you know, came and wreaked havoc on the beaches. So I included that in my bill, but this would be a broader look, which I do think is warranted.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, especially for long-term planning and for municipalities who may not have their own, you know, wherewithal to look that far down the road on their, you know, on their own coastal line. So,
right.
Okay, right. That's great.
And we've been lucky on Aquidneck Island, because we've had Paige Myatt from the Rhode Island Infrastructure Bank. So we've been very fortunate to have her guidance on the island, working with the municipalities for on resilience. But
Absolutely.
You're right. You're right about the need at a state level.
Certainly.
Good to have a comprehensive view. And then the other bill that I'm introducing tonight is a clean heat standard. And there's advocacy from Green Energy Consumers for this bill. And it would be directing existing businesses in the fossil fuel industry, like oil companies and propane companies, to over time adopt more clean energy into the services they provide. It's there'll be a series of credits that they would have to have these credits, and they could either purchase them or they could earn the credits by adding more clean energy products to their line of services as a way to move transition away from fossil fuels into cleaner energy over time.
Okay. And by purchase credits with or earn them, how right. What does that mean?
Well, it would be, for instance, oil delivery companies. Instead mm-hmm. of continuing to deliver oil and service gas furnaces, over time, they would be installing more heat pumps, electric heat pumps. So phasing them, giving them a pathway to phase out of fossil fuel sales and service to clean energy sales and service. If you're going to replace a furnace instead of putting in another mm-hmm. gas furnace or oil furnace, perhaps you would put in heat pumps, for example.
So they get tax credits to do move away?
It will be a new series of credits that will okay. be established. It's kind of based off of something called REGI, which we've used mm-hmm. in the energy efficiency for appliances and in the electrical sector for energy. And this is more on the fuel delivery side to residential homes and businesses, because we don't have anything, no incentive or no carrots or sticks at the moment
right.
for fuel delivery companies and propane delivery companies to move away. We have that on gas and electricity, but we don't have it on those fuel delivery businesses.
Yeah. And it's often consumer driven too, right? It is cheaper and more affordable to go the oil route than heat pump often. So until that kind of switches, incentivizing either the consumer or the provider or deliverer.
And there's a lot right now, there are incentives to put in heat pumps, but you're right, they're not cheap. And I've put them in my house, and I will tell you that for air conditioning, they're very efficient, okay. much cheaper to operate but you do have to make the investment.
Yeah.
Yes.
And on that note, might be a good time to just pause here. We'll continue okay. much more with Representative Terry Cordvin, getting a up close and personal look on what our representative is up to at the General Assembly. And we'll continue with Aaron Donovan Boyle here in the Business of Greater Newport. It's the Business of Greater Newport, Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce, newportchamber.com. We'll update the chamber calendar in the last few minutes of our hour together. Our chamber host today, Aaron Donovan Boyle, Executive Director of the Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce, and her guest, Aaron.
Yes, I'm joined by Representative Terry Cordvin, who covers part of Portsmouth and Middletown. And we're talking about some important bills that she's introducing this evening. She gave us a good update on five that she's working on. And in addition to proactively working on individual pieces of legislation, our representatives and senators also serve on various different committees and hear other people's bills and other issues. One important and prominent committee that you serve on, Representative, is of course the Finance Committee. And I wondered if we might talk a little bit about what you have been up to lately.
Yes, the Finance Committee's in the middle. We're probably the midway point of hearing the governor's budget in detail. So each meeting starts with a presentation from House fiscal staff, and we have Sharon Ferland is an excellent fiscal person who brings us, you know, all the details that we need to make decisions. So we get a presentation from her, then we hear from the governor's staff. And right now we're meeting in subcommittees, and we're meeting with each of the agencies. So after we hear from House fiscal staff, and then we hear from the executive branch, then we hear from the agencies themselves. They come up and they testify, tell us about their budget requests. We're allowed to ask questions. And then we hear from the public. The meetings are all open to the public, and frequently members of the community are, you know, have some input on the budget request one way or the other, and we hear from them as well. So last night I sat in on the transportation subcommittee meeting. I'm not formally on that committee, but it's something I'm interested in. Everybody's interested in transportation right now. And we heard from Director Alvidi, we heard from RIPTA, and we heard from the Turnpike and Bridge Authority. Their presentation was pretty short, and they're very effective and seem to not have any real fiscal request. That's the Turnpike and Bridge Authority. Lori Silvera did a great job, and that was pretty easy. We spent a lot of time with Director Alvidi. There were a lot of questions about the Washington Bridge, of course. Then the reps that were on the committee were able to ask about projects in their towns. Mm-hmm. So I was asking about East Main Road and 138 and what the plan is. And one concern that reps had were things that are on the transportation improvement plan, for immediate attention, like East Main Road. There were some projects in Tiverton that Rep Edwards was asking about. Are these going to get pushed back by the need for funds to address the Washington Bridge? And last night we were assured that we weren't going to encounter that.
Okay.
Although,
that's good to hear.
Yes, everybody was relieved to hear that, but we have not really heard where the funds are going to come from yet. Sure, the bridge, the 20% match that we know that the state will have to come up with.
Right.
So that is still TBD.
Okay.
So, we were told that repairs have already begun. There are certain things that needed to be done regardless of how they decide to move forward. So those pins that we've all seen pictures of, those are in the process of being replaced right now. So anyway.
That's good to hear. That's a great update. If you don't mind, let's go back to East Main Road, though.
Yes.
Can you share an update with what is on the tip related to East Main Road and what both the department and the town have determined how to move forward?
Yes, I have asked for more information because one thing that I heard last night I wasn't even aware of, and that was around the roundabout. Yeah. And it sounded to me like they are redesigning. They did say they were redesigning that portion. So I take that to mean that maybe the roundabout is going away because there was a lot of concern in Portsmouth about the roundabout. But I've asked for clarification, follow-up clarification on that, and wanted to reach out to Mr. Rayner, our town administrator. Mm-hmm. But the plan now is, instead of starting in Portsmouth, working south to Middletown, that they are going to do the Middletown section of East Main Road first, and then come back to Portsmouth. They're two separate projects. I was hoping that one would roll right into the other, but I think one is scheduled for, I think Middletown is pretty immediate. That will be first,
that just includes repaving.
Now I've been hearing separate. This did not come up, and I was kind of kicking myself for not asking about it. But it's still working its way through the towns. But I know, like Newport is advocating for a road diet. I don't know that has gotten all the way back to Ride Eye yet. So I didn't really want I didn't really touch on that last night in my questions to Director Alvidi because I feel I don't want to step on the town council's rules.
And it sounds more like a private meeting to do a deeper dive.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So but repaving, yes. And then repaving coming up East Main Road north to Portsmouth, but they're going to take them in two separate projects, the Middletown section and then the Portsmouth section.
Okay, so. Great. And so as far as the bridges go, does everything seem on track with the Bridge and Turnpike Authority's upgrades yes. that they're doing and maintenance?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it sounded like nothing was alarming. I know she has they have a lot of projects going on, and she right. touched on them. The dehumidification project, we've heard a lot about. We've been asked to write letters of support for the Mount Hope Bridge. Mm-hmm. She describes this as like air conditioning systems for yeah. The bridges, and they are doing testing right now. And so if you travel over the Mount Hope Bridge, I think they are taking a lane for this testing mm-hmm. that they wanted to do that before the summer, you know, the heaviest travel time over the bridge. Right. So they're working on doing that testing now, and then they would be coming back and installing. So we heard a little bit about that they'd be installing the system, and that there'd be some infrastructure on either side of the bridge down on the ground side. And then I guess these air conditioning things go up the cables. Yes. So anyway,
it's pretty wild.
It is. It is.
But
it's, you know
it's really important.
That's
exactly.
Right.
And I love hearing that the goal is in the long term and short term to save taxpayer dollars so that these bridges remain healthy and adapt to the climate change that they are experiencing.
Yes.
So it is actually pretty exciting. So when people talk about bridges these days, I do like to ring the praises of RIPPA for being very proactive in their forward-looking and maintenance, rather than, you know, a similar situation that could very easily happen, you know, with the Washington Bridge. And if that were to happen on our island communities, we would be absolutely devastated. So the preservation and maintenance of those two bridges are extremely important.
Critical. I totally agree with you. Yes. So,
well, you also serve on a couple of other subcommittees. Do you want to just share some of that?
Yeah, I'm on a study commission that I thought Aquidneck Islanders might be interested in. And it's a study commission looking at short-term rentals. And
okay.
we met yesterday afternoon as well. And this is chaired by Rep Carson, and mm-hmm. I'm the vice chair. And we have a large committee of short-term property owners. The hospitality sits on it. The Hospitality Association, the Division of Taxation. Mm-hmm. There's about 15 members. I'm trying to remember all the different sectors represented, mm-hmm. but it's a wide variety of people, and we're really taking a deep dive into the issues with short-term rentals. And what we've done so far is hear from municipalities across the state of all their different ordinances, and we're trying to think about how what's the state's role. And you know, we have home rule charter, and we don't want to step on local municipalities roles and abilities to regulate, but at the same time, does it make sense, you know, from tourism perspective to have different rules, you know, over from town to town to town? And is there some, you know, what's the state's role in maybe trying to make it a little more seamless for short-term
sure.
rentals, because it is part of our tourism, you know, a component mm-hmm. of our tourism industry. And it's a, you know, the platforms, I think short-term rentals have existed for a long time in Rhode Island, but they've really
right.
exploded with the platforms that are now the way you can book these and find these short-term rentals.
Sure.
So they're, you know, we've heard Middletown, I think, is the third on the list in terms of numbers. I think Newport's second, and Narragansett might be first, if memory serves
okay.
correct. So
yeah.
It's definitely a phenomenon that we're dealing with. And
yeah.
So we're looking into, you know, the implications, good and bad,
right.
on the study commission.
That's great. And then perhaps coming up with recommendations or even best practices to help guide and support the local municipalities and how they deal with these things.
Exactly. Absolutely. For the state. Yes. Yes. That's correct. We're looking at the registration and what we found. That's one component. And what we have found when the municipalities came and testified, we were asking how many are registered in your town, and then cross-referencing that with how many were registered at the state in that particular town. And we found that the numbers didn't match up anywhere. So that's one thing we're thinking about is there some way to come up with like a common registration form where when you register with the town, you register with the state, or when you register with the state, you automatically register with the town, something to make it easier for compliance for the property owner and then make it more accurate for the towns and the state to get a handle on the number of rentals we have.
Right. Well, it sounds like you're very busy this session. We can't thank you enough for all of the work that you do on behalf of Portsmouth, Middletown, and really the whole region. Thank you for being such a big supporter of the business community as well. And we hope to have you back on. If people want to get in touch with you, how can they reach out?
I have a state email address that's on the General Assembly's website, which just got redone this year. I encourage people to go take a look. And also I have a Gmail account, which is terrycorkfriend@gmail.com. So you can track me down either through the state website or just send me an email, spelling out my name @gmail.com.
That's great. Thank you so much, Rep. Thanks for joining
us
today.
Thank you for having me. Great to talk to you all. Take care. Have a good day.
Thanks very much for being with us, Representative Terry Corcoran, in the business of Greater Newport. Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce, newportchamber.com.
That's right. So as we just get off the call with Rep. Corcoran, right now is the time. It is the busy time up at the State House. So next Tuesday on the 26th, we have our annual legislative reception at the State House. Folks from the broader region are invited to come. We do this in partnership with the Rhode Island Chamber Coalition, so it's the other chambers of commerce around the state. It's a great opportunity to get up there and meet with reps and senators. We see ours all the time, but we don't see many of the others who don't come into the district as often. So it's a great opportunity to meet legislators from around the state and to raise, you know, questions and issues with legislators or people of specific committees if you'd like. So you can register for that right on our website. Again, it's next Tuesday, March 26th. It will be at the State House in the Bell Tower area. So great opportunity to come and meet with all of our legislators. This evening, we do, of course, have our Women in Business After Hours, sponsored by Berkshire Bank at Rosecliff from 5:30 to 7:30. Our keynote speaker is Julie Brown. She's a national speaker and has just recently written a book, which will also be on sale. If those of you would like an autographed copy, you're welcome to come. And that, of course, is at Rosecliff, sponsored by Berkshire Bank and the Preservation Society. Next Thursday, we have our business after hours at the Pell. Great opportunity to get into the brand new hotel. If you haven't,
it's the Hotel Pell. Yes, not the bridge.
That's right. That's right. Not the bridge and not at Salve.
Or not at Salve. Yes.
It's the hotel. It's beautiful. For those of you who haven't seen it since it's been renovated.
Where the Ramada used to be.
That's right. Very Rhode Island of you, Bruce.
Well, we've been doing that all morning. We've been doing directions, the Rhode Island GPS directions via old landmarks. So that'll pinpoint it to a lot of people.
Exactly. But it is a great opportunity to check it out. That's next Thursday, the 28th. And then in April, on Thursday, the 4th, we have our next Conversations with Women of Distinction. And I know your listeners will be excited to hear that Gail Olofsson will be our guest.
Yes.
She has her own radio show with you all and does a wonderful job, but I'm excited to sit down and really just chat with her and let the audience get to know Gail a little bit more, more personally.
Dynamic Newport personality, and she is, as we speak, Erin, she is at the Palm Beach Boat Show.
Oh, wow.
Getting some background and firsthand information on what the Newport International Boat Show might look like this year, because, right, as you know, the boat show has been acquired by the company that produces the Palm Beach Boat Show. So could be some interesting insights there as you speak with Gail at our next Women of Distinction event.
That's right. You can register right on our website for that one event or for the full series. So lots of different options there. And then our large event taking place in April on the 9th is our annual expo. So that will be at the Wyndham Atlantic Resort right at in Middletown. And that is from 4 to 6. We are still accepting, I believe, until the end of this week, exhibitors. So if there are any businesses out there who would still like to attend and make sure you get a table and a booth, make sure you do that by tomorrow. It is an exciting event. We'll have about 70 exhibitors this year.
Oh, that's great.
And that's sponsored by Cox.
That's great. We have about a minute remaining. The expo is always looked forward to. I was saying a little earlier, it is still the kind of first party of the spring.
It sure is. And then it is immediately followed with a dinner upstairs at Wyndham Atlantic Resort to honor our Excellence in Business awardees. So a great opportunity to make a full day with the Chamber. Come check out your local businesses with the expo and then roll on upstairs. Join us for dinner and hear about these amazing businesses that have been voted by their peers and nominated by their colleagues to be excellent in business recipients this year. We also have a really great keynote speaker, the head of human resources for Raytheon. So she's coming in, and it'll just be a great opportunity to talk about excellence in business all around.
You bet, and which is what we do every week. We like to point that out here in the Business of Greater Newport. And if you want to find out about any of the events and more benefits of membership and all of the information going on with this vital and vibrant organization, the Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce, you just visit newportchamber.com. Erin Donovan Boyle, always a pleasure, always informative. Thanks very much for being our host this hour.
My pleasure, Bruce. Always fun to chat with you.
Great to be on with you and our guests.